You have your Bibles, open up with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This past February, Katie and I had the opportunity to go to a biblical counseling training conference in Lafayette, Indiana. And while we were there, I became familiar with an author by the name of Paul Tripp. Maybe you've heard of Paul Tripp, but he points out this, that if we talk about the love of Christ and the Bible, yet we live selfish, angry, materialistic lives. And by our own example, we are saying that God's truth is a facade. In fact, this is what Paul Tripp says. He says this: our teenagers will tend to dismiss or despise the very gospel we say is of paramount importance. They will tend to reject the God we have so poorly represented, and they too will end up serving the idols of the surrounding culture. I believe that the challenge that we have today as parents living in a Christ-rejecting culture is to raise our children up in a way in which they will love the Lord and they will love His Word. That is a great challenge that we have before us, parents. And I believe that the number one most important thing that we can do is fulfill our God-given roles as mothers and fathers. And so the question is, how do we go about that? How do we go about pointing the love of Christ to our children and then to those around us as well? I believe this, the most important thing that we can do is we can be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I really believe that that is the most important thing that we can be doing, because the love that we have for the Lord is going to pour forth from our lives into the lives of our children and then into the lives of those around us. And I am speaking to the parents, to the mothers, yes, but I am speaking to all of us this morning. If we want to make an influence on this culture, this Christ-rejecting culture, it is going to begin with our relationship to the Lord. And I need to ask you this morning, do you know Christ better today than you did a year ago? It's hard to believe that a year has come and gone. Feels like just yesterday I preached a Mother's Day sermon here, and a year has gone by already, yet here we are. Do you know Christ better today than last year? That is the question I want to pose for all of us this morning. You do not have to change to be accepted by Christ, but if you accept Him, you will change. I believe that one of the desires that we will have in our lives as we grow close to the Lord is we are going to have this desire that we are going to want to grow in the area of godliness. All of a sudden, the Lord's desires and plans for our life will start to overrule the desires and the plans that we have for our own lives. And we're going to do that which God would want us to do. And so we're going to reflect this morning on the area of godliness, because I believe this morning, this is an area that we can all be growing in and improving in, myself included, in the area of godliness. So we're going to, as we reflect today on Mother's Day, we're going to look at these three ordinary women who were godly examples for us in this area, in the area of godliness. If you have your notes, I would encourage you to follow along with me. We're going to look at our first example today. I've had you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Our first example is Elizabeth. Elizabeth is an example of a woman who lived blameless before God. She is an example of a woman who lived blameless before God. Now, what captures my attention as we come to Luke chapter 1 is that as we look at these three women in Luke 1 and 2, these three women have the most important and powerful roles than any other women have in the rest of this gospel, in the gospel of Luke. So if you would follow along with me to Luke chapter 1, we're going to see this example of Elizabeth right here in verse 5 through 7. So please follow along with me. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Both Zacharias and Elizabeth were living in a very evil time. It was a very dark time. In fact, the religious leaders of their day were chasing after man-made religions, and the corruption was everywhere. And to make matters worse, God had been silent for 400 years. He hadn't spoken through any prophets or prophetesses or any angels. God hadn't spoken at all. And so we remember that promise that God made, that he would send a Messiah into this world who would deliver his people from Satan, sin, and death. But God is faithful. And I need to say this, that even though we find ourselves in an ungodly culture today, we can be just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we can still serve the Lord. We still can. The answer to God's faithfulness is found right here in Luke chapter 1. We're introduced to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Zacharias, if you look at his name, it literally means God remembers. And then if you look at the name of Elizabeth, what is fascinating is you find that her name means the oath of God. So when we consider God's faithfulness, and we take Zacharias and Elizabeth, we remember and we see that God remembers his oath. And so because God is faithful, he sends an angel to Zacharias to tell him of this baby that they are going to have. Let's look at verse 13 together, and then we're going to jump on down to verse 17. This angel appears before Zacharias and says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Then down to verse 17. "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude and the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This one that God had promised to send, not only the Messiah, but this forerunner, John the Baptist, is fulfilled right here in this passage. And that this angel would come to this man and this woman, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and tell them that, look, this child that you are going to have is going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. And remember with me, Elizabeth was barren. I can't imagine what Zacharias' response was to this when the angel told him that they were going to have a child. All the doctors told them, "You are not going to be able to have children." And upon this news, Zacharias doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe that they're going to have a child. And as a result, he remains mute until the Messiah is born. Elizabeth is going to be used in a very powerful way by the Lord. What we know about her is that she was married, she was unable to have children, and that she was blameless before God. I want to hone in on that last point there. She was blameless before God. Let's look at verse 6. They were both righteous in the sight of God. I want to stop there just for a minute because positionally, they believed God. They believed his word. They were right with God. And today when someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they are right with God. They are given a relationship with God Almighty. And regardless of how they live their life here and now, they are still going to be a child of God. There, we have that eternal security. But these two made a difference in their life. It says here in verse 6, they were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. This doesn't say that Elizabeth was sinless. There's another passage in the scripture that says that there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who does not sin. She was not perfect, but her desire was to serve the Lord. And so God used her in a very powerful way. Bitterness could have welled up inside of Elizabeth, which would have prevented her from living the life that God wanted her to live. She could have spent her life in a bitter state because of her circumstances. She was barren. And what is her response when she comes to find out that she is going to have a child? Notice with me what it says in verse 25. "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days He looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace from among men. In that culture, to not have children was looked down upon. Yet her idol was not in what she did not have. Her desire and heart's motive was to glorify God with her life. And there is no doubt in my mind as I think about Zacharias and Elizabeth this morning that they had made a powerful influence in the life of John the Baptist. Mothers, I need to say this to you this morning. Do not downplay the importance of this role that God has for you in your life. From the time that your little ones are born until the time that they leave your home, you will have made a tremendous impact. And it begins with the daily, day-to-day things. Don't downplay that. The role of a mother is very important, and it is important to God. It is important to God. I was reading somewhere that a mother with one child will lose 3 months of leisure time a year with one child. That's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. I can't imagine how many months of leisure time a mother loses with more children on top of that. It is a lot of work. There is a daily grind to it. The Apostle Paul recognized the influence of motherhood when he told Timothy that he was grateful for the faith of his mother and his grandmother. He wrote this. He says, I am mindful of their influence of faith in your life. If you'll remember with me, Hannah in the Old Testament was praying to the Lord for a son. And the Lord blessed her. She gave him a son who would grow up amongst the sons of Eli, who were wicked men. But I believe Anna had a very important role in this young man's life who turned out to be Samuel, and God used him in a mighty way. Abraham Lincoln once said that he remembered the prayers of his mothers and that those prayers followed him all the days of his life. And I believe as we look right here in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, that I believe that Elizabeth made a tremendous impact on the life of John the Baptist. The second area of godliness that we're going to consider is found in the life of Mary, which leads us to our second example today. It is found right here. Mary is an example of a woman who had faith in God. Mary is an example of a woman who had faith in God. There is an ongoing debate among scientists today concerning the actual center of the universe. Some scientists would say that the earth is the center of the universe, and others would say that the earth is just a random speck of dust in a far corner of an obscure galaxy. As Christians, at times we can treat God like he is a random influence in our lives. But as we look at Mary, she did not allow God to have that place. The Lord had first place in her life. The Lord was the center of her galaxy. And after she found out what God's plans were for her, that she would give birth to a son, even though she was a virgin, even though she had not been married, even though she could have her life taken from her, she submits to those plans that the Lord has, that the Lord had for her. That's an amazing thought, that she would carry the Messiah in her womb. Look with me at what her response is to this news. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. What a woman of faith. I believe the response may have been, it could have been, I have the right to my own body. It could have been this, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I don't want this to happen. I don't want to bear this child. This could mean my life. But instead, her response was, okay. I'm okay with this. Because this is your plan for me. And I recognize that you are faithful and that you are the one who will take me through this. Do you see why she is a tremendous example to all of us this morning? Not only to the mothers in here, but to the fathers, to the husbands, to the wives, to the grandparents, to the teens, to the college students, to all of us. She is a tremendous example because she placed God's plans and purposes for her life above her own. She fulfilled the very purpose that God had for her and that God has for all of our lives, which is to bring glory to God. Maybe you've come in here this morning, and to be honest, Mother's Day is kind of a sad day for you. Maybe you weren't able to have children of your own. Maybe you feel purposeless on this day. Maybe it is that you've come in here and as a parent, you feel like you failed as a parent. You feel that you've really lost that purpose. Maybe you've come in here today and you feel like you've got no purpose at all. There is a passage in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, which tells us what our purpose is. Turn with me there, Isaiah 43, verse 7. Mary fulfilled this purpose that God had for her in her life. Isaiah 43, verse 7. The Lord is speaking here. And he says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. If you feel like you have no purpose this morning, I want you to know that God has given you and me a purpose. Regardless of how we might feel, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. And that purpose is this, that we are to glorify God. That's it. That's simple. And yet when you chase after the things of this world, you will never fulfill that purpose. And there is no satisfaction in that. Mary didn't have a woe is me attitude. She had faith in God to see her through. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is Mary's response. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. That is a mother who is trusting in the Lord. What would have been her response had she placed her own desires above God's? I believe the result would have been that she could have been angry towards God, she could have been bitter, she could have been fearful, she could have felt lonely. But notice with me what she says in verse 48. For he has had regard. The God of the universe has had regard for the humble state of his bondservant. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. She is a woman of faith. Mothers, God has granted you the gift of raising up your children for the glory of God. And there are days where you do not feel like being a mother, I'm sure. There are days where it is not a walk in the park. I think people think sometimes that pastors' kids are perfect. This past Friday, I tried to stay out of the office as much as I could, took the day. We brought, my wife and I took Emily, Elise, and Colton. We went to Menards, and then our plan was to go to McDonald's. And then we'd just go right through the drive-thru. And then we would end up at the park, and we'd spend a great time in the afternoon with them. And so we went to Menards. That was fine. We're driving over to McDonald's, and one of the kids pees their pants. And I think the mothers were laughing when I said that. And so we told the kids, we're not going to be able to go to the park now because we didn't have a change of pants with us. And so when we told them that, everyone started crying and bawling. And this was when we were in the drive-thru at McDonald's. And I'm not going to be able to tell them what we want because of all the noise in our van. So instead of McDonald's, we drove home, we had sandwiches, and then we all took a nap. The reality is there are days where it is hard, and I laugh now, but it wasn't very funny this past Friday. Yesterday was a better day, but you have those ups and you have those downs. Mary was an example of faith. We come to our third example, Anna. Anna is an example of a woman who praised God. Anna is an example of a woman who praised God. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 for this point here. But I want to be clear, at this point in the Gospel of Luke, Luke records those who have been able to say, I have seen the Savior, the promised Messiah that God had promised to send. In fact, one of the first men to have seen the Messiah, to have seen Jesus, was a man by the name of Simeon. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he said, my eyes have seen salvation. One preacher said it this way. He said, God's salvation is bound up in a person. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. At this point in the gospel, both John the Baptist and Jesus were born. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to an aged woman by the name of Anna. In verse 36, it says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. There are three attributes I want to point out in Anna's life. First one was that she was a prophetess. The second one was that she was a widow. And it is not recorded as to whether or not she had children of her own. And thirdly, she was advanced in years. That first point that she's a prophetess, Anna was a spokesperson for God. There are different prophetesses in the Old Testament. Miriam, the sister of Moses, was a prophetess. Deborah in the Old Testament is a prophetess. But what sets Anna apart is that Anna actually saw the Messiah herself with her own eyes. Now today, we do not have a need for the prophets like they had back then today because we have God's fulfilled word. And so if somebody comes up to me and has a message that they claim is from God and yet does not line up with the word of God, I'm going to toss that message aside. But Anna is not a fraud, as we see here in Luke chapter 2. She loved the Lord and believed his word. And at this point, God's word had not been completed. Keep that in mind. I cannot imagine the amount of joy that welled up within her as she gazed upon the Savior. She was a prophetess. Number two, widow. She was a widow, and I do not believe she had any children. As a widow, Anna did not allow her marital status to define who she would become. Notice with me what it says in verse 37. She never left the temple serving night and day with fasting and prayers. Now, after reading a passage like this, the temptation would be to focus in on those credentials. She's never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And so it can be easy to want to put the spotlight on Anna, on Elizabeth, or on Mary. The spotlight belongs on God this morning. Not on these women. They were great, beautiful examples of godliness. But the spotlight belongs on God. He is the one who is faithful time and time again. And so Anna praised the Lord when she saw the Messiah. I want to ask you this morning, what is your social status? What is your marital status? Because no matter who you are, whether you are married, whether you are single, whether you are still in high school, God can use you for his glory. God can use you. Anna did not allow her status to define who she was. The most important thing for all of us this morning is whether or not we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Because the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are trusting him to save you from your sin. You become a child of God. And nobody can take that salvation away from you. The third attribute was that she was an older woman. This is striking to me. She was an older woman. There's a couple here that attends in the evening service. When I go to shake his hand, whether it's here or outside of church, he'll tell me this: God is good. God is good. I want to let you know that is a blessing to me to hear that. It is a tremendous blessing. Anna may have been in her retirement age, but she didn't retire from serving God. She loved the Lord and loved his work and was faithful to do it. Don't ever quit serving the Lord. Don't ever stop fellowshipping with other Christians. God can use you to minister to those around you for his glory today. No matter who you are, he can use you. For Mary and Joseph, they would probably have told you this, that when they went to see Anna, they were encouraged by her response. She praised the Lord. They must have been encouraged by that. We have seen together this morning three examples in the scriptures of women who are godly women. The goal for mothers and for all of us this morning is that we would grow in this area, in the area of godliness. Elizabeth lived blameless before God. Mary trusted God with her life, and Anna praised God in his faithfulness. Remember, you do not have to change to be accepted by Christ, but if you accept him, you will change. I believe that as you are growing in your relationship with him, you are going to change as a person, to look more like Christ. And so I want to ask us two questions this morning before we leave. The first one is this, not just for the mothers, for all of us this morning. Are we examples in the area of godliness? I'm not going to answer that for you. I want you to answer that for yourself. Would somebody look at you, at your life, and say, that is a person who is an example of a godly man, a godly woman? Secondly, now, today, as opposed to last year, are you growing in Christ-like character? Are you growing in Christ-like character? If there is something that is holding you back from being all that Christ would have you to be, toss that aside. Ask for the Lord's forgiveness and move forward. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are good. We thank you that you are faithful. And Father, we have before us these three ladies who were tremendous examples in this area, in the area of godliness. Father, and the reality is this, that our purpose this morning is to glorify you with our lives. I pray that that would be our goal as we seek to serve you in the weeks to come. We thank you for all you do. We thank you for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.